Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to the Transitioning Show. My name is Bob Wright. And just so you know that I am here right now in Morocco. And so we are going to have a pre-recorded session for you today with Julian Wells and Chris Hale, who are going to be giving you some information about some of the energetic updates and what's going on in the higher places with our Palladian friends. And we will be back next week at the same time, at the same channel on Blog Talk Radio. Or if you want, you can catch the archive on 5dmedianetwork.com. So I'm just going to let Chris and Julian take it away from here. And again, please join us next week and catch the rest of our shows. Monday night, we have the One People Radio. And Tuesday night, the Collective Imagination, and of course, tune in on Saturday for the Transitioning. We'll see you all next week. Enjoy the update with Julian.
Hi everybody, it's Chris here with Julian, and time for another update. And it's getting towards late in the evening my time, and early in the morning Julian's time, the usual cross the planet thing. So good morning, Julian.
Good evening, Chris.
Yes, precisely. Julian, you've got a series of questions here that have come out of the cosmic room. So I'll read through them to kick this discussion off. How would that be?
Wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. First one, from Linda Rays of Sunshine. Can you tell me when individuals are here to harvest someone else's energy for their own power?
I recognize the pattern in my own experience, and I can recognize when there is a potential for a space for harvesting. So, for instance, in my own experience, there's a lot of feelings associated with the experience, and what harvesting generally tries to do is it tries to give, you know, partial truths, and then tie in data or messages or feelings that will get you to be in a position so that it'll be a vibratory match with the individual. Now, this happens under most conversations between any two people. You're always trying to work with them and help raise their spirits, and then you'll introduce some energy that is along your energy level, and you will continue the conversation trying to embed in data that's relative to you so that you can basically connect with the individual and yet feel a benefit from the conversation, because you'll be speaking on your level, not necessarily subjects, but the subjects that you are interested in will be on the level where it is harmonic to where you currently are in that place and time. So when we're talking about harvesting, what we're really speaking to is individuals trying to match yourself to them. So at any point that you're feeling that you are listening to data that really, you know, resonates on one level but doesn't resonate on another level, that's really, you know, for you to decide what you're going to incorporate and what you're going to interpret and what you're going to mill with and what you're going to listen to. every word that I say should be taken, you know, for what you resonate with, and when the words that I don't should not. And that's not saying because I'm trying to harvest anyone. That's saying that, you know, if you allow me to use my words to change the way that you feel about things, and it'll be a feeling thing because feeling is a state of resonance, then you will be in a position to basically be co-opted by my words. If I say, you know, there's going to be ships tomorrow and blue people are going to come out, and you feel love and joy completely from those words, then fantastic. Then you're right in tune with where you're headed in your own path and your own energy. But if there's something there that just doesn't quite fit, pay attention to it, or basically put the information aside. Don't necessarily discard it. Data is data, but you can put the information aside and, you know, take with it what works well with you. So it's really a matter of establishing compatibility. I know this individual that's asking the question is speaking more in terms of, you know, beings that are meant to do us harm for, you know, more extreme circumstances. But I think on my end, that typically is very obvious. But what we're talking about are subtle ways to harvest. And this is all throughout our lives, and this is what the Cabal has done in order to get us truly entrapped in their system. You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
And so
there's a constant exchange of energy in conversation, which is
but
people don't necessarily pay attention to.
Right. And in my case, I'm particularly sensitive to the energy that flows with words and flows with symbology before even sometimes the words are said. So in my case, I have a particular attuning to that, and I don't want to say that's my specialty, but that is just something that comes with the territory of being sensitive to your emotions and your sense of direction.
Yes, and I think once you start to tune into those things, you become ever more sensitive to them.
Right.
It goes on.
And for instance, I can look at channelings, even channelings I've never heard from the individual before, and I can read between the lines in terms of how the energy was initially intended to be delivered and the personality of the channeler itself.
Mm.
It's kind of weird.
You can pick up intent.
Yes, I do. And I also pick up on almost as if they are the attention of the channeling turns towards me and says, help clean this up. And so I've had a lot of concerns about wanting to do that whenever I look at channeling. And that's one of the strange reasons why I don't put my time into it, because it would take a lot of energy to go about updating channeling data.
Mm-hmm.
Some are different than others, but that's another subject.
Yeah, well, you're passing on information in your own way, in a specific way, which I think is really valid. So I think there's enough channelers out there.
Yeah.
Probably too many.
Yeah.
Okay, second question is from Pateric. How would the Galactics approach reconnecting with their inner child?
They basically, quote unquote, are connected to the inner child at most times. And the definition I'm going to give to the inner child is this nature of spontaneity, creativity, flexibility, relaxedness, yet intense when it is a moment to be intense, and also to not feel lack in such obvious ways that allows us to be controlled. They they live a lot in this type of state. And if they were to give advice, it would be along the lines of recognize those attributes, recognize what activities bring out those attributes within yourself, engage more in those activities, or those moments, bring those moments more deliberately into your experience. And as you experience more, they will, you know, develop a pattern within yourself, especially in the pattern of joy, because most of these reflect energy flowing, and you'll find that you'll get addicted to more, well, you'll become more and more addicted to it, and you'll want to establish it more and more in your life. For the most part, this is the inherent pattern that someone is. This is the inherent nature that everyone wants to be. And it's this type of energy flow that has been attempted to be shackled, because its momentum is extremely intense. They are telling me right now that your body retains a lot of density in terms of energy that is stored that can keep you in a vibratory pattern that may not be your nature, and you can look towards supporting the balance within your body so that you can experience more who you are without these physical barriers. I'm not saying something like being overweight is a sign, but it can be reflective of a health pattern that gets in the way of you expressing yourself in a certain way. And I'm not saying either that, you know, the actual result of the physicality of being overweight is the barrier. There's actually very subtle unconscious energy that you wouldn't recognize that comes with, or I wouldn't say you wouldn't understand, but they influence the psyche in ways that most people simply don't understand. I'm not saying that I understand it fully, but I do know that people who can look into auras, which I've done on occasion, can interpret blockages in the energy's ability to flow, and often they're associated with physical attributes that are not natural. I guess that's probably as far as I could take that, I think.
Yeah, look, the inner child is one of the aspects of it that I find appealing, is that most children don't have the baggage that we do as adults. And if you can set your baggage aside, you'll find yourself far more far closer to thinking and feeling like you did when you were very young. So anyhow, that's a whole philosophical discussion that we will save for some other time.
But what they tell me is there's part that it's tied to the body as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Okay, question from John. Julian, can our friends tell you what group of UFOs flew over the Oklahoma tornado site? Was it government? Was it our government or a group of our friends?
It was not our government. It was our friends. It was... I'm hesitant to say, but I feel the influence came from Ashtar Command.
Mm-hmm.
Or what passes for what Ashtar Command really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to clear up all the confusion about the various groups that are out there, and I have a feeling that half the problem is they just don't use labels the way that we do.
Yeah, and there's a significant amount of intermingling and cooperation. For instance, Ashtar Command works, I don't want to make statements here, someone might have other data, but they work with Syrian-type ships,
mm-hmm.
which means is it a Syrian entity or is it someone that working with the Ashtar Command? I can't tell.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Mixing
and
matching. Yeah,
like, is there Syrian in the Ashtar group? Maybe.
You know. There you go. There you go. Okay, next question. When will most of the world start to... this is actually a second question from John. When will most of the world start to see the ships? Will they be seen over stadiums and events like we have talked about?
So, the mass sightings, I think, is really the subject here.
It is, yeah.
And that's on the no-no list for me to really be specific about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I actually know and I don't want to tell you guys. It's that they put up a barrier for my own protection.
Yeah. Well, look, the bottom line is it'll happen when it can. And this the complicated the situation on the planet is so complicated. There's so many variables in that equation. I certainly wouldn't be putting out a date. You might say, you know, before the end of the year.
Oh, it's before the end of the year. I can pretty much assure everyone of that.
Mm.
I'm more interested in specifics like, is it 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 months?
Mm, me too.
You know, but something like that.
I'm trying.
But I'm still confident that we will reach a very high threshold before the end of American summer.
So there you go, John. Okay, a question from Ali. This is a very specific one. He says, not sure about the spelling, but where is the planet Ashnahar?
Oh, I read this one before. I have no idea. First off, it represents a vibration that I am unfamiliar with,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, I don't know what vibrations go with it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Galactic speak, they don't have a universal English word pronunciation for things.
Okay.
So just the sounding of someone's name actually means something else in their language. And their language is extremely diverse. And it's like different languages call different places different things. Sometimes they don't, actually, but for the most part, they have their own interpretation of that. And I'm not quite ready to be in a place to be a galactic translator or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Might be a question you could actually ask Andrew Bartzis.
Probably could be.
So
yeah.
Now, you know, if he's the galactic historian, yeah, then mm-hmm. he might be able to discern what it is. But I think it'll always get down to, you know, have we got the name right and are we pronouncing it correctly in a meaningful way?
Correct. So. Well, there's tying into the intent behind the individual for the purpose of the question being asked. And I'm just going to say, I'm not that skilled.
Look, no,
I'm not that finely tuned in no means.
As Clint Eastwood says in one of his movies, you know, man's got to know his limitations.
Well,
there you go.
I like breaking past my limitations. So maybe I'll just say, maybe I'll come back to that one.
Yeah, well, at some point you may get the information.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, pressing on to Aaron. Julian, I would like to know your feelings regarding yesterday's collective imagination and the information received from it.
Ah,
there's a lot of information in that show. It's a big question.
There was. Can we put that to the update after the questions?
Sure.
That's part of the update that I was going to offer.
Sure. Next question then from Ali. Okay, what forms of exchange exist on your worlds? I presume he means, oh yes, he does mean exchange of resources. It's followed up with, do you have some sort of common bartering object, in other words, money? If you do not, did you ever, and how did you convert off the money/barter system?
Okay, so there's a couple of different levels of understanding they have about exchange. First, most can interpret energy exchange. Most can interpret, as we do as well in resonance, when we do something for someone and when they feel compelled to offer something or their time in exchange. Sometimes the word thank you is a big sum of money to them. Okay, so if you do something for someone and you feel resoundingly comfortable with a thank you, well, then that is sufficient. Because what that thank you does is it opens up your access to the energy that you have access to, which is infinite, within that moment of thank you, to recognize your own inner value that you cash in for yourself. But if the thank you is bland or comes with very little emotional and relative context, you may not connect with that thank you. And so you won't feel that the energy has come back around for you. Everything you project, you receive. Every action has its own reaction, but it doesn't mean that it shows up in physicality. That's what they want me to say. But regards to their everyday exchanges, they don't have everyday exchanges. They don't even have bartering. They just know, they can just know, similar to myself, when energy is paid forward and when the energy is going into a place that benefits the individual. A lot of the times you won't involve yourself into a space that is not somehow benefiting you in a grander scheme. It doesn't have to be, you know, in the moment you're getting an immediate benefit, but if you're helping your family, say, with a chore, you know that in the long view of things, it's supporting you as well. So people tend to invest their energies in ways that they are able to recognize they can receive it. And so that's why the monetary system was established here. It was this idea that if you put money, physical money, into something, you will reap the rewards in a way more directly that you can recognize. Like, say, I have corn and you have milk, but I'm not interested in milk, so I'll trade with this guy over here for flour, and then that guy with the flour will make the exchange with the milk, and then we'll use money as a universal system. The universal system is energy in itself, is what I'm telling you. The money is a limited scope of recognizing where the energy is being played. For me, what I've recognized and what I've developed is an understanding that I wish to know where all my energy is placed. I wish to know in every moment who I'm interacting with. I wish to be deliberate about every action that I take and every place that I place my attention, because my energy is valuable. Not in the sense that I can't continue drawing value and energy from myself, but that I don't want to put energy that may not have a resonance with someone else when they receive it. So say I put out a $50 bill that I created. Say I manifested it. That dollar bill is a piece of me. And as that goes out, and is working with individuals that I am unfamiliar with, they are playing with a piece of me. And that is not yet comfortable for myself to do. In the same way, these galactics are very deliberate about their actions and their direction, because their energy typically will go out, and what they can do is they can follow up on every moment that that energy that they've invested carries on into other people's actions, and how that energy, it's almost like a physical substance, like a physical dollar bill. You can follow its life. And what that does is that connects you to all sorts of things. And sometimes those all sorts of things are things that you don't want to be involved with. What if you find out that $50 bill gets used for like drug money or something? Right? So the other part of that that I was gonna answer was their society does make exchanges between other societies. Say, for instance, they will have like a, one society might have a ship technology or an actual ship, and the other group might actually request to use it. And that's a significant contribution, you might say, to the first group. And there'll be a certain expectancy of what their intentions are going to be with the use of the ship. So what they'll find is that the person who is borrowing or retaining the ship would be limited in their use of the ship to whatever functions support the interests of the society that is doing the offering. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does.
So there's sort of like, you know, don't use this in the wrong way, you know. Something like that. So,
yeah, the whole idea of having that kind of really sophisticated, energetic, only bartering system, I think, is really made practical and possible in a society which is heavily connected telepathically.
Yes. So, also telepathically, there's very little. Well, there is, but there's very little illusion between people, because in a moment's notice, you can resonate directly with the source of the person's intent.
Mm.
Most of the time, people don't go so far; they just allow the surface information. But when your relationship lasts not just moments, but centuries, there's very little that you don't understand the subtlety of. Kind of like when you live with someone and you have a relationship with that person over the long period of time, you get to know them pretty well, pretty fine-tuned like. The reality of it is in our density that we exist in right now, we are the most cut off from each other. We're the most unawares of each other. And we're becoming more and more masters of understanding what is really going on in every day and every experience we have. So when we go to a place that can be considered a little lighter in density, we'll be tremendously aware of the subtleties. And we actually are. We're just being constantly told that we aren't.
Mm. Yeah, I think that'll become sharper and clearer very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've had an overload.
Yep.
And it's really slapped me around a little bit, just the realization of what information and data is actually available. And I've had to cope with the contrast of what I have access to recognize and what was previously established, if that makes sense. And you know, sometimes I have to keep myself from crying. And sometimes I don't keep myself from crying. I'm just, I know that the crying is useful in some cases. But that's also a reason why I don't like to do a lot of personal work with other individuals, because the attunement is so acute to that individual, and I'm not necessarily as gifted with my skills to be so aware of myself and what sort of boundaries I'm willing to do, that I, you know, easily cry when I work with other people's energies that bother me. So it's a troubling experience for me in to do personal one-on-ones, but I'll get there one day. I don't think it'll be too long off. And I may work more with direct individuals on their specific needs.
Yep. Now look, there's so many lessons for everybody to learn.
Yeah, it's not. There's no ending to it.
No.
It always grow.
Yep. Grow into things. That's the best way to do it. Because you've been, you know, the journey you've been on has taken you 18 months.
Yeah.
Not like it really started in January. I mean, some people start to become aware of you in January, but you've been on a journey for a long time. So.
Yeah, that's true. And I do owe Michael and Peter's offering to really offering a lot of rapidness to it. It really cuts to the chase, which I like.
Yeah, it's very intense. Very intense, which is a good thing. Okay, so that was the second last question. Last question's from Chase. Have you met many different varieties of cosmic people? And I think he means met energetically. So I think we're all aware you haven't met them physically as yet. And are some like military officials and others more like Zen Buddhists?
It's going to sound out there, but the diversity they have and that I've met is more than the diversity we have on the planet. And so it gets a little bit confusing as to what my alignment should be in every moment. Say, when you walk up to a military official, you have a certain approach when approaching these individuals. When you approach someone like the Dalai Lama, you have an approach to how you'll conduct and what sort of interactions that you have with that individual. And I end up being kind of ping-ponged around a bit more than I'm comfortable with nowadays when I go poking my head into places that are new to me. So they're awfully patient because they do recognize the innocence of my being like a child walking onto the bridge of the Starship Enterprise.
I remember that incident, yes.
Yeah. That is, you know, they do have patience for me. And so for the most part, yeah, I've seen some really out there stuff that I'm not even sure, you know, I should even believe myself, but I've learned to just take data as it comes and the way it is and understand that it has its place if I take the time to dig into it. When it comes to the varieties of cosmic people, there are four major groups that I've had energetic connections with, but for the most part, I stick with the Pleiadians because I've recently been made very clear and bluntly that I am of Pleiadian lineage, and I'm most comfortable with them.
With the energetic patterns of them?
With the energetic source that they derive from. So, sort of like each river has its own flow and current and underbody structure that establishes its speed, what types of bends it takes, how it works with the environment and its surroundings, mm-hmm. and what boundaries that it offers itself for its own definition, they represent the closest thing to that. And so I, quote unquote, could say, could get along with them best. I may be in a slight position of judgment when it comes to the other groups, but I incorporate the Pleiadian energy really well within me.
And you also have commented that the Andromedans were more businesslike than the Pleiadians, which I think
they are. They are more down to business than I'm willing to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect the place that they take to be, you know, to take things at a serious level and deliberate level, because it's a degree of responsibility that I'm not quite willing to encompass on such a scale that they're comfortable with.
Mm.
So it's very, I don't want to say very, I'll say it is very similar to the military's approach to taking things seriously as if it is some kind of life or death. And that's not what I'm saying it is. But they have a high degree for people's experience. They have a high degree of respect for people's experiences. And they will wish to treat everyone in the way that they asked to be treated to themselves. So they really want people to enjoy their own nature specifically, and they will guard it for others, and they will support that development for the other. They are very organized. Organized is an understatement. But there's certain patterns that come with a high level of organization, and they hold that. I'm probably considered much more whimsical, and Pleiadians considered much more whimsical as a whole. But in to some degrees, the Pleiadians may be seen as more creative in some facets.
Yeah.
The Syrians are another group that I'm familiar with. I really like them. I think probably Syrians and Pleiadians could be very best friends, if not almost the same race. And the Arcturians are the other ones that have a high degree of presence here. There is also the Lemurians, who have a presence on the planet physically. And I have not had too much contact with them. They are... Well, I don't say I couldn't, but they are particularly guarded about their data relative to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even me knowing where one is positioned on the surface of our planet screws things up from my point of awareness.
Mm. That's interesting.
You know, so.
Yep. Oh, well, we'll have to...
I mean, it's an environment for us to explore for certain.
Yeah, it is. But obviously within the limitations that have been set due to the circumstances. I mean, when things open up, when things are more resolved, mm-hmm. I've no doubt that there'll be a lot more information forthcoming. Probably the proverbial fire hose.
Mm-hmm. And some people will be like, screw the new technology they may have to offer. I want to go visit their places.
Mm.
You know? So... They have a high expectancy of that.
Yeah, I agree. There will be a very high expectancy of that. I mean, there'll always be the interest in the technology, actually. There'll also be a huge interest in, you know, who are these people, and you know,
mm-hmm.
can we see your stuff? Show me your ships.
Yeah, I think. I think that's just around the corner.
Well, that's
quite literally. And if I get too excited, I'll get lost in the specifics of that desire that I have. and I lose focus. So they started doing that, and they saw how I reacted, and they pulled back a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too engaging.
Yeah.
Too much fun out there. So I guess the answer to Chase's question is, well, the first one, have you met many different varieties? It sounds like about five. And are some like military officials and others more like Zen Buddhists to a degree?
Yes, they are, both.
Mm.
And it's funny when you find a military official like that is a Zen Buddhist type at the same time.
Hmm.
You didn't think they could be the same, but they're very the description of the Andromedans. It's like unbelievably calm under pressure.
Hmm.
So, anyhow.
Anyhow. Okay, so on to the update. Now, you indicated you had something you were sort of wanting to say.
Well, so the collective imagination's energy was a this sense that there was some loose ends to be tied up that were getting tied up, like wrapping the bow on a present or something. And yet the potential for opening the present had still not occurred, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it completes more and more the image we have of our expectancy. And as a collective, a lot of people got a lot of benefit yesterday from several questions being answered, and yet there are still those who are not entirely in the flow of things and want more specific details. I think that's going to continue. I think there's always going to be that.
It's the right? same range of satisfaction through to, you know, somewhat frustration at the some mm-hmm. people want absolute clarity. They want dates and times and whatever. And it's mm-hmm. the same with asking, you know, when are the ETs going to turn up? Or what mm-hmm. are they going to do? There are answers and details that just are not available yet. And, you know, the more you set expectations by talking about specifics, the, you know, the easier it is to make them really unhappy. Because things like releasing software is just fraught with, you know, all sorts of issues. And we're in it's just a really complicated mm-hmm. situation.
Well, I think there's still many people that are looking at IUV as a system, right? An organized arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be really blunt. I don't think many people are going to recognize it. I think people within this group have the highest opportunity to recognize its potential, and it'll be up to us to distribute that understanding. It's like we haven't even started that, really.
Mm. Mm.
We haven't started showing people what the IUV is capable of. And really, it's an opening of what we are capable of as people. So to get this idea that the IUV is just going to magically transform things is way, way below what people are beginning to expect of it. I'm just going to share that. So there's this idea that it is money on day one or something. That is a rub two coins together sort of thing. And, well, how quickly do you recognize your impact in the scheme of things so that you can actually evaluate yourself in such a way that you can establish within another an expected return on your investment, right? It's not that simple, and I'm not trying to put anyone down, but there are steps still to experience and to learn, and I think some people we're going to need some helping hands from those that are getting it. And we're just beginning. It's just getting to the next level. And the next level is like going to a whole other grade level in school. It, you know, it takes what you've learned and it takes you to the next space. And the next space is, you know, built upon the past, built upon the last. So fundamentally, many people will recognize exactly where it goes and exactly how it works, and it'll click immediately. But those that are in a rock and a hard space might take a little longer to see the value within the trees. Specifically to the software, I feel it's, I don't even know if I should speak to it, but I will just because I've already brought it up. It's really a prototype to a really bigger way of taking humanity via a medium of software. I actually fully expect it to be replaced by better software. I don't want to say that there's something wrong with it, but it's going to get picked up by not, you know, a couple programmers, but like people seeing this and saying, oh shit, we can really take this to the next level in a very short span of time.
Because what the combination of the platform that has been developed and the extra part that's going to be added to it for the purpose of exchange will ultimately morph into a very large management system, which will be the operational side of the CVAC system. Or whatever self governance. Yeah. That's what it'll lead to. And as you say, that's a huge thing because there's halls of records and there'll be all sorts of management systems in there and public record systems in there. It'll be huge. And this is the if you like the first few cells of life dividing in front of us.
Yeah. So it might not seem like it will start with a really big impact. I mean, it will for those who recognize it right off the bat. But there's going to be just a fundamental wave of development that will happen in a very short span of time. It's like truth does not take long to sell itself, right? The truth and value in something really doesn't take long. We're trained to be apprehensive and careful about things, but it's going to be like there's no fail here, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, the software for the system, because it won't just be software. If you add the new technology to it. Of you know, or communications technology or transport technology, it just becomes an incredible thing, and it'll be the, you know, when it's more fully developed, it'll be sort of like the operating system for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it'll actually be. The financial side of it is just a part of it.
Yeah,
that's why Caleb knows this, and that's why he's developing a really secure platform to kick it off with.
And
it'll take
a while for the data itself that it contains to actually reach its potential, right? It's like if you were to open, say, Facebook tomorrow from scratch, you know how long Facebook took before it became available to people for free? It was like 2 years or something like that before, you know, they made it a public tool rather than an invitation-only tool.
That's a lot of development.
It is, and this is so fundamentally improved that you should not expect it even close to take that long, especially now that people recognize the value of social tools.
Yeah, I think they've already got a fair inkling of that sort of value.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the use of Skype rooms. I mean, Skype rooms were never, I think, Skype chat was never intended for running these huge rooms.
I think
it had that capability, so people just went, yep, I can use that. Bang, away it went.
Yeah, they've sort of replaced the forums.
To an extent, yes. They've kind of been replaced by Skype rooms because the interactions can be more human because they're more rapid. And
yeah,
you know, okay, there's a few more emoticons in there for doing, you know, for adding a bit of, you know, emotional flavor to the communication, which is actually very important. But the fact that they're so fluid and instantaneous, I think, is the key to the success of them. Where forums are more structured and slower to use, for sure.
Mm.
Interesting mm-hmm. concept. But yeah, look, everyone's going to have different levels of expectation about what the IUV looks like when it first comes out. And, you know, my view is you just have to wait and, expect it to be another learning experience, really.
Yeah. From my point of view, I'm learning every day.
Mm.
I'm having experiences every day that are foundational to the day that follows it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where I'm going to be, you know, 3 days from now. The things that I have scheduled for myself 3 days from now is based on other people's timelines.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fitting in with other people's timelines. Actually, I do know what's happening 3 days from now, which would be the day that I have my show. I'm actually going to announce it's going to be canceled this week. I do have some family engagements that are going to take my time that this coming Saturday. But the following Saturday, we're going to have Andrew Bartzis, and I'm planning on drilling him on some really tough questions and some really foundational questions, I think, that are going to want to be answered.
Mm.
And so I'm really excited for that opportunity. I also know that, you know, Bob is just going to be arriving in Morocco, and we don't want to tax him too much.
Sure. Yeah, well, sometimes these things happen. What you might consider doing is replaying one of the first shows.
Yeah, I mean, if that's,
you know, we can
figure out, we can definitely set that up.
Because you can replay it. You can replay an audio file in the time. So have a look at that anyway. It doesn't have to be
good
a
idea.
Current show. What you can do is, just mm-hmm. as a suggestion here, is you could pre-record a show with Bob a few days beforehand and just play it.
That's not a bad idea.
Because it'll only take, that means no one misses out. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. as current because you can't have, say, callers calling in.
Okay? Right.
You can still have a nice long conversation, or maybe bring in a couple of extra people to have a chat with.
Well, I better get on that then.
Yep. It's all doable because you just load that up as an audio file, and you just need to play it back, and all you've got to do is go in and set up the room and hit the play button, and it'll just play itself.
I know I won't have access to my computer, so I might have to ask someone to step in,
yeah,
probably
okay.
from Lisa's group.
Yep, well, that will at the moment, that will probably be me. So, yeah, if you need me to do that, let me know, because I know how to drive the board, so
okay,
we can do that. Now, an update. Anything else that you wanted to add to that?
I know there was a good deal of talk on the RV and the Swiss Indo in terms of ironing out what Heather knows and what Heather's expectations are of it. And she also put almost in the same words that everything is going to be done this week. And
yeah, I'll have to correct you there. She said it would start to become visible.
It would start to become visible this week. That's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah, slightly different.
But that there should be material that would be recognizable
yeah.
Beginning this week through this weekend, especially. And this weekend is a real zinger.
Seeing some energetic shifting around, are you?
Well, even on a very personal level, for every individual, not every individual, but a good number of individuals listening to this, there is stuff commencing. There is new initiatives coming about. And if I were to predict what were to come on Monday or Tuesday, I couldn't even begin.
Oh, that's cool. I like
to speak to that.
I like the sound of that.
people's mind will be in a state of like opening a book and reading a couple lines. How do I know how they're going to feel after page 5? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
So you're seeing a really, you know, you're seeing things really shifting.
They are, but some people are not going to want to pick up that book yet. They're not going to be comfortable with the seeming radicalness of what type of investment it'll take to open this book. Many of us are already on route. There's nothing stopping us from doing this. And those are the ones that already know that they've got plans or something happening this weekend or whatever. But foundationally, the energies are gonna be pretty in on, you know, they're gonna be in business this weekend.
Nice.
It is this energy where, you know, the peak of a wave starts to turn white.
Mm-hmm.
There's a transformation where that white is the definition of giving to doing. Mm-hmm. There is a doing that everyone will begin, at least with the group that are mostly listening to me, will immediately recognize. Somehow you may have a conversation with someone that is foundational. Somehow you may find yourself in some place or some time that will affect a large degree of your future. I don't want to say you haven't had moments like this before, but this is one of those. And it is not even specific to the IUV coming out. It doesn't have to be even related to that.
Hmm.
And in terms of people's personal lives, you know, it's something very new, and it has a lot of doing action behind it. Some people might be only listening to this by the time it's the weekend, and they'll get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But in terms of advice, if I have advice for this, even if you don't have like some kind of place to be or some kind of appointment, the moment is there to support you for the steps of doing.
Are you really talking about just a massive energetic shift that gets people moving? What do you think is really going
on? I'm telling you, it's time to get your surfboard.
Okay.
I'm all up. Even if you think you suck at surfing, it's worth trying now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, yes, I don't want to say energy shift. I could say energy shift, but a shift makes me feel that things are twisting. This is not a twist. This is a momentum development.
Mm.
And it gets particularly functional and useful in the next 5 days.
Mm.
So
very intriguing.
You'll find it much easier to do. That makes sense.
Well, like, I hope
you'll
so,
have all I've, this. You'll I've, have a lot of energetic backing to support your action.
I've got a whole heap of things to do this weekend, so I'm really glad to hear that. Maybe I'll get through that. That's good news for me. Yeah. So, any other aspect to the next few days or weeks that you want to comment on?
Well, it's so different for each person. I don't even know where to begin.
Mm.
Right. You can just see it as this element where you can invest or place your energy somewhere and know that there won't be a place that you put your hand down that is not a good investment almost.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are talking about stock market, I do not mean stock market. That's fundamentally broken. Don't do that.
Mm.
But what I mean is on your day-to-day relationships, on reconnecting with past relationships, it'll be a really good time, because if you really do want a past relationship in your future, this would be a really good time to sew them back into your life. I had a dream last night where I was highly involved in old patterns and reintroducing them, partially because they're familiar and something that I understood to a certain degree that I can bring back in, but also because they represented a foundation of my nature as a child. And I would be able to reconnect with my approach to things through a more adult understanding and a more enlightened understanding of what is actually going on in within the space of my childhood. And I had nervousness moving forward because I was not entirely aware of the repercussions. But you don't need to worry about every little detail when you know that the wave is moving in a direction, to know that anything you do will lead in the direction that you're still comfortable with. Mm. Right?
I'm getting very intrigued about...
So momentum has a way of not being able to pivot very easily into something that you don't want. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so it sounds fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
And it's like, it will have a cool down in the middle of next week, but this is the new thing. It's gonna not stop. Don't expect that this weekend is like a one shot or something. It's gonna continue.
Like most of the people on the planet, I've been hanging out for something to show signs of shift, because it's been there's nothing going on. There's big events going on around the place, but there's no geopolitical, social, or shifting in other directions. Okay, it's all pointing in the same direction at the moment, and we're expecting to change directions. This might be an indication that process is starting to take place. So.
It could be, but I can only speak to personal.
I understand. But obviously,
people are doing with it could very well be very public.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay, and speaking of things in the nature of, Swiss Indo and organizations that hover in the background and potentially in the past have been significant players in the financial industry. Anything you're sensing, any movement on that regard? Because the Swiss Indo documentation's been around for a couple of months now, and
it is. They themselves as an overall entity are in a state of rapid development internally.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even speak to what that means. But it's almost as if their potential is expanding, or the realization of their potential is expanding. And through this expansion, there's a lot of cleaning up of the dusty hallways sort of feel. Right?
Yep.
When something has not been in a state of being active, there's a lot of development that goes on there to actually be structurally sound going forward. And I don't mean physically. It could be very much on the lines of sorting out individuals who are not in line with the purpose or something.
Mm.
You know? Doesn't mean that they get kicked out or something. It could be just they need to line up with a greater sense of the reality.
Mm.
Because some people might have been in positions where the reality was, developed their entire lifetime, only to find out now that it's not going to be the way they thought it was. Does that make sense?
Indeed. Shifting. Everything's shifting all over the place. Well, on my kind of list of update things, we've talked quite a lot about the ETs. Is there anything else to talk about from coming information coming from them about, I guess, any aspect on their activities? Or have we covered enough? That you can get access to?
Sort of like, yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the other interesting areas that we discuss are the powers that were and the bankers. How do you think they're feeling at the moment? Because they're very central to all the shifting that's going on. And you've described them at various times as being in various different states of apprehension, sometimes even outright fear of retribution, sometimes giving up. What are you perceiving about them at the moment? You can tell
I can speak to data that's particularly in my head. The bank managers, at the level of a bank manager, they are in sort of a tight spot with regards to the action that they feel that they should take. This kind of like, not even, and it's weird because it's like they know something even if they haven't received like a notice or a flyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know something is terribly wrong, and they're really sweating things out, right? They're really going through a process, whether it's the economy in general, or that they have data that is influencing their comfort. But this has been going on for a little while now, and as a whole. And that's a very large hole, so it's not, very precise at the same time. They're probably going to do something. They're probably going to start using their voice to relieve themselves of this tension. And that's typically done by steering the information up the chain.
Yes, I would have guessed at that.
But this is, this energy right here is somehow the one that I need to speak to, not the ones that are higher up.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're a very important part of it because they're the interface to the public.
And right.
They are kind of pivotal in people's perceptions of banks. Because for a lot of people, that's about as high as they ever get contact with is the bank manager.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't know what being a bank manager really was until now.
That's a fairly serious statement to make, actually.
It's almost like not really understanding their responsibility until it's laid out and asked of them to do something. This idea of trusting the upper management is going away. So there's this greater recognition of the individual's individual purpose, path, and importance on a larger scale. And this is happening at many different levels. That's why it sounds so vague. I think I can maybe give some examples. There are some individuals who are in a position that want to quit. And it's not because, they're hopeless. It's just that they feel they can't do their job. Not in a way that they couldn't do their job, that they don't know how to do their job, but they're not being allowed to do their job. Right? And a lot of people on a very 3D level, are asking them questions about the economy and they don't know. And when they find out some data, all of it's disturbing. There's nothing. They're gaining no comfort from any quarter, from any side.
Here's a question for you. Does any of this relate to the courtesy notices and the UCC stuff that's been introduced?
Like I was, like I was kind of saying before, both.
Mm.
The ones that are getting them and the ones that aren't.
Mm.
It's like they're affecting each other without even knowing.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yep. You know, well, there's this 100th monkey syndrome.
Well, the squeeze is in their department right now.
Mm.
The most of the squeeze is in that department. Head of banks. So, I wish I understood how they worked a little better physically. I might have more details to share. You know,
yeah,
like,
well, as far as,
you know,
one of the things that's been going on is that we've been encouraging people to take information directly into the branch and give it to the manager.
So that's happened, and it has gone past that point into the management that leaves a specific branch.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about way more people that have not received a courtesy notice.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because do you think it's the discussions around the water cooler throughout the company that are starting to...
There's some of that, and there's some 100th monkey where one monkey doesn't even get the memo from the monkey standing next to him, just somehow he's getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's getting it. There's something they need to do.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, see, one of the aspects of this whole struggle to get information into the system is that those people inside the system are us too. They are people, and they have their own families, and they have their own mortgages. You know, they have you know, all of the same issues that we do. You know, the only difference between them and us is that they're working for the source of the problem, and, you know, although they've got mortgages, they get a few percent break on the interest rate, but they've still got mortgages.
Yeah, I almost want to go in and comfort them. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't want to go in and comfort them. I want to go in there and explain things the way they are so that they can have some understanding of the energies that they're faced with, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And
I might even see if I can.
Well,
physically go in and take a flyer, a lot like Chase did.
No, it was Chase B.
Like Jake, take Ducey.
No, Chase Binney did some work. Not with I think he did one bank manager, and he did the state attorney general.
Mm.
Right.
So I would have a conversation. Now, obviously, I'm not some kind of expert on this. Sure, I've been around, but I have a terrible memory. I'm going to tell you that. I'm screwed. I must live in the present. But I'm, you know, willing to go see a person as a person, not as a bank manager, but as a person.
Well, in fact, that's actually what you're doing when you go in, because if we take the specifics of the environment that the UCC filings created, is that if everything is reduced to absolute, the bank isn't really there. You're actually just going to see another person.
Mm.
So it's actually exactly the right approach to take, is that one.
Yeah. Well, that might have something to do with my personal plans this weekend. Mm. I'm seeing family, and it's time to tell them. And I feel very, very good about that. At least I think it'll go well.
Yeah, well, all you can do is put it out there in a positive way and pass the information on. And look, the other group that are of interest to the military, whether there's any kind of movement in their energetics you're sensing?
I wish I could see a little better in there, but, you know, I also don't understand the military complex that well. You know, I want to do so much more for what I know is going on in terms of, I just know stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be more specific than that, so it kind of sucks. It makes me want to develop my skills at this point. But, you know, I'm also have a much higher degree of trust. I've never had this kind of trust with regards to what's going on there.
Mm.
I mean, I should have, perhaps, had trust.
Trust that they're going to do the right thing?
Yes.
Is that a way of expressing
I have a lot of trust for the momentum that's going on. And as much as I would, you know, be comfortable speaking to a locker room conversation and being in a locker room and sharing my data and where I come from there,
mm-hmm.
I don't tie into their personalities very well. I'm not, you know, I don't click with their approach to data and information. I don't think as well as they do with each other. So they know their friends. They know how they receive that information and how they treat it. So they speak very well to the subjects at hand that matter to them the most. And those conversations, I don't have a high degree of understanding without really trying to sort it out and figure that out. So the specifics of their conversations are, I don't want to say they're off limits to me, but they reflect patterns that I'm not entirely, you know, comfortable trying to interpret in this moment of time. It's like when you have access to telepathic communications and whatnot, there is consensus current behind the subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's a really strong consensus current, it doesn't mean you understand it. And so it's not like the information is being presented to me. You know, no one's presenting me with this information and no one is directing the information at me. I'm presenting myself into a space that I'm unfamiliar with to a certain degree. And it's like I have to imagine how the conversation is going and play it out moment to moment in my head before I can gain a comfort with what actually could be and is said, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really good at that. I'm good at that with some subjects, but
yeah, that's okay. Look, you know, if you're not comfortable with because one of the things about energetic work is there has to be a certain amount of, you know, attraction or resonance between you and the intended sort of energy source that you're examining, which is essentially what you're doing. You're examining sources of energy. If you don't really resonate with it much,
well,
it comes hard to interpret, of course.
Also, it's in my nature to want to ground as much as I can when I move forward. It's like put an anchor or like a piton into the side of the mountain before I climb higher.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I could just rock climb the entire thing, but I gain less and less comfort the higher I go, based on how far away the last piton I've placed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just going to say, I'm going to stick to what I know for the moment and what I'm comfortable interpreting.
Yep. Well, we'll pass on to the next subject.
Okay.
Looking at my one list here, we're sort of getting down to the end of it here. I have been asking you what the Sasquatch were thinking, but it doesn't. The information of the last few weeks hasn't changed much. So unless something's changed there, we don't need to spend a lot of time on that.
They just want to say hello.
Hey guys.
Yeah, they.
Looking forward to it.
So they have a really weird tool that they've established between them. They can speak to like a chat room where all of them can connect to like a telepathic chat room.
Okay.
Right? And they're inviting me in there, and it's weird because it's not consensus thought so much. It's like a whole bunch of different individuals.
Well, it's a chat room.
Just like a chat room, right? And that's how I interpret it. And
are you saying they're inviting you in there right now?
I'm there, and they just said, "Hey, you want to do a live? You want to do a live video chat?" I'm like, "What? What the hell does that mean?"
I don't know. Say yes, and maybe you'll find out.
Oh God! So they're showing me an image of the woods, And it's like, here we are. Can you see us? And I'm like, you guys are messing with me.
Yeah, they're messing with me. They're tricky. Love it. They love a joke.
Yeah.
So you tell them hi from all of us.
Yeah.
Tell them we hope to see them soon.
Oh, gosh. They say, hi from Where's Waldo?
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying, spot us. Come on, see us. Yeah. Where are we?
They really mess with me now. This is really fun.
You're the new guy in the room, you know?
I am the guy that they can, that actually responds to their actions.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's funny.
They're very welcoming people. It's unbelievable. When they recognize your pattern, they will come out and hug you. They really will.
Mm.
Because when they recognize their pattern, they know precisely how you'll react. And if you're a match to them, well, then they will come out and hug you. So anyone going out in the woods who has a particularly comforting feeling about them, you know, they're ready. They're more than ready. They're making themselves, they're making this mystery get put away. That's their intentions.
That's fantastic, actually. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I perceive they have a very Australian sense of humor.
Oh, yeah?
Use the term. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see Mark Hoser and a Sasquatch doing a kind of a joke for joke, comedy face-off.
I'd see that.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Love to see that. They love a joke, I'm told.
There's some that are actually attempting to learn English, if that's weird enough. That's what they wanted to tell me.
Well,
some of them think that would break some of the ice.
Yeah, actually it would. If they could do that, that's a great thing. That's minutes. I know that, you know, we should respond by learning their language.
I'm not even sure they have a language.
Well,
it's almost entirely telepathic.
Yeah.
But they do have voice boxes.
Well, they actually use calls, voice calls in the woods for signaling. I'm not sure that it's anything more than, just some basic communication with the voice. But if it's also telepathic, but
wait, no, I got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
There are some that would like to learn English, and maybe we can help them.
Well, I'm sure that could be done too.
Hmm.
You know,
I'm just saying, it's probably not going to be me anytime real soon, but I'm not opposed to that.
Well, there's a lot of people who have existing relationships with them and have had for a long time, and I suspect it'll be those people because the level of comfort will be between.
You mean like Thomas?
Like Thomas, and there's people Thomas knows who have known,
We might want to hit him up and see what he's experiencing.
Yes, that would be. Well, why don't you have Thomas on your show?
We could do that. I love him. He's so cool.
Oh, he's great fun. He really is great fun, you know, and
he's
got good
insight.
He'll have
to get his contact details.
That can be arranged very easily.
Okay.
So.
But a week and a half from now, we're going to have Andrew Bartzis, and it should be really exciting. I'm not sure if we'll get to one-on-one call-ins because we have a lot of ground that I want to cover with him publicly. I've spoken with him on non-recorded spaces, and he has really raised the bar for me in terms of what my potential is.
Yeah.
Really makes me very excited.
Yeah, look, I've had a couple of conversations with him since we started the shows, and yeah, it's just extraordinary. Because there literally isn't any subject which he only has to bend his mind in that direction and he gets information. And it's usually...
It's a little bit what I do, but he gives me the grounded support in knowing
mm-hmm.
now.
Like, yeah.
That's he's my piton.
Mm.
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it does. Because just to see someone doing it, people have watched a lot of jugglers on TV, but if you're right next to one watching them, there's so much more that you get out of it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm.
Yep. So anyhow, I think we've got a pretty good size recording this time.
Yes. Well.
And I'm pretty sure we'll talk to updates perhaps around the time of the shows next week as regards to what's been occurring over the weekend.
Great stuff. Okay, we'll end it here and say good night and good morning to everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Good day, everyone.